Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, text number, I believe, 3 is on the board. Ibemi naham nirayat padap chuto. Na pasha bandad vyasanad duratyayat. Naivarta kritrad bhavato vinigrahad. Asadu vadad prisham udvijayata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I do not fear being deprived of all my possessions, living in hellish life, being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, being punished by you as much as I fear defamation. Purport, although Bali Maharaj fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not tolerate being defamed for cheating a brahmana brahmachari. Being quite alert in regard to his reputation, he thought deeply about how to prevent being defamed. The Lord therefore gave him the good counsel prevent defamation by offering his head. A Vaishnava does not fear any punishment. Narayana para sarve nakutasana bivyate. Bhagavatam 6:17:28. Mam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Bhacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskadhyade Siddharna. Here the question of infamy is raised. Apparently, we heard that if anyone who is transcendentally realized, he is equal in fame and infamy. Honor and dishonor, heat and cold, etc. That's all supposed to be the same. But apparently, even such a great personality as Bali Maharaj, he was afraid of infamy. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Akirtim chapi bhutani kate shami tevayam sambhavit tasya cha kirtir marna natarichyate. Akirtim chapi bhutani. So akirtim means infamy, chapi bhutani. So people will always speak of your infamy, Krishna says. And for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. For an ordinary person, dishonor is normal. Matter of fact, some people take pleasure in being defamed. If they become famous for their infamy, they become famous as an outlaw, just like it mentions that in the Bhagavatam, or in the Krishna book, that the killer, Shatadanva, of Krishna's father-in-law, Satyajit, was famous in Dwarka as an outlaw. But, in one sense, the devotees are aloof from so-called fame or infamy, but here, Bali Maharaj, not only being a Kshatriya, but just being a devotee, it's not good for a devotee to be infamous. Because then people won't respect the devotee, and therefore they'll commit offenses by not respecting the devotee. They won't be able to listen to the devotee. And therefore, the devotee's ability to represent Krishna will be diminished. Or as we find in the example of Arjuna. Arjuna had vowed before the Brahmin who had come in front of the palace of Ugrasena and was criticizing the king because in the presence of the father, his son had died a number of times. A number of sons had died, and therefore he was criticizing the Kshatriya kings, saying that if there was an actual Kshatriya king, how would this be possible? Arjuna stepped in and said, "My dear Brahman, I am not Shankarshan, I am not Krishna, I am not Aniruddha, I am not Pradumya, but I vow that I'll protect your son. If not, then I'll enter into the fire." Somehow or another, the Brahmin was convinced that Arjuna would be able to protect his son. Of course, as we know, when the Brahmin's wife gave birth to another child, the child and Arjuna's arrows and Arjuna's bow all disappeared. Therefore, Arjuna was about to enter into the fire, following his word, after visiting all the places in the universe. Obviously, Arjuna was not an ordinary person. He was able to go to Brahmaloka, Indraloka, Vayuloka, Siddhaloka, and look for the Brahmin's child. You can imagine he must have been quite fast, because you go to Brahmaloka, even you go to this planet, look around, try and find someone, even the CIA or the FBI will have a hard time instantly finding anyone. But somehow or another, Arjuna was able to look out through the whole planet, all these planets, and he came to the conclusion he couldn't find the Brahmin's son. He was just about to enter into the fire when Krishna stopped him and said, "If you enter into the fire, it's not going to look good for me, that my devotee, I was not able to protect him, and therefore he was killed by entering into the fire." Therefore, Krishna took his chariot and personally went with Arjuna to Mahavishnu Loka, where they found the children of the Brahmin and returned them. Similarly, we find Krishna, when that same Satvijit had taken the Shaimantaka jewel. The Shaimantaka jewel was actually Kastuba gem. When Krishna had left Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani had the Kastuba gem. And when Srimati Radharani entered into the Jamuna along with her companion Vishakha in order to drown herself in the Jamuna, the sun god took them up to the sun planet. And at that time, the sun god received the Kastuba gem, which he later on gave to Satyajit. So actually, when Krishna had asked for the gem, or at least to give it to Ugrasena, it was actually Krishna's gem. But Satyajit was bewildered. He didn't know that actually the gem belonged to Krishna. In any case, Satyajit refused to give Krishna or Ugrasena the jewel. Instead, he installed it in his own house because he was producing 84 mounds of gold every day. Get exactly, it's like 320 pounds of gold a day, which is probably even more, it's quite a bit of money. You get 350 pounds of gold every day. In any case, at that time, Prasena, who was Satyajit's brother, took the jewel in order to show off the family's opulence. And riding on a horse, he went into the forest. I don't know who he's trying to impress in the forest. And he wound up in the forest with a jewel, riding on a horse. And one lion attacked the horse, killed Prasena, and took the jewel. I don't know what the lion was going to do with the jewel. I guess even lions have their economic problems. But at that time, Jambavan came along, killed the lion, and took the jewel. One sense is it said that he didn't take the jewel very seriously because he gave it as a trinket to his child to play with. But at that time, Satyajit, he started to spread rumors that Krishna had taken the jewel. But Krishna didn't like his name being defamed, because it said that this rumor spread like wildfire. Bad news is not only spreading quickly in Kali Yuga, but even in Dwarpa Yuga. Even bad news or ill gossip about the Supreme Personality of Godhead even was spreading like wildfire in a place like Dwarka, no less. Krishna's eternal abode. So just imagine what it's like in a place like Dallas. What can you expect? If God himself becomes defamed in his own city, his eternal city, by his eternal associates, so what can you expect of an ordinary person in an ordinary city in Kali Yuga? In any case, Krishna decided he'd go out personally and find out where that jewel was. And taking some prominent members of his family and some elderly members of the city, he went out looking for the jewel. And there he found dead Prasena, the dead horse, and he could understand that there were some tracks. Oh, and then he found the dead lion. And then he found some more tracks, and he traced them to the cave, and he entered into the cave, and there he fought with Jambavan for 27 or 28 days and nights. And finally Jambavan came to his senses, realized he was fighting with his master, Lord Ramachandra, delivered the jewel, and delivered Jambavati, according to the Lalita Madhava, was actually Lalita, who had, when she saw Srimati Radharani and Vishakha enter into the Jamuna, she became so disturbed that she jumped off Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill was quite a bit higher at that time into the city, but at that time Jambavan was passing by and caught her as she fell down and then took her. And she became Jambavati, who's later on given back to Krishna, because Lalita is eternally related to Krishna, so it was just natural that she'd come back to be with Krishna in Dwarka. In any case, there are many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam and others. We find Gopal Chapala in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was envious of Srivas Thakur. Therefore, one night he put the paraphernalia to worship Durga in front of his door. Because being a Vaishnav, Srivas Thakur had a high reputation in the village. But if he was discovered to be a Sakta worshiper, his reputation would be diminished. So in order to diminish his reputation, Gopala Chapala put the paraphernalia to worship Durga, including liquor and red kumkum and some flowers that only Mother Durga accepts. And then Srivas Thakur opened his door the next morning and discovered that all this paraphernalia to worship Durga was there. So what did he do? Did he try to hide it? No, he immediately called for all the respectable people in the village and told them, see here all this paraphernalia. I must admit, I feel guilty that secretly at night I'm worshiping Goddess Durga. And what are the elderly members of the city or the village? What do they say? Now we caught you. We thought so. No, they said, who is this sinful person who's put this paraphernalia there? And then they took they called for the hati, the sweepers, to sweep the paraphernalia away. They wouldn't even touch it. And then Gopal Chapala contacted leprosy because of his sinful activity of trying to defame a Vaishnava. And having leprosy, he went to outside the village and he was suffering. One day Lord Chaitanya walked by, and Gopal Chapala, who was simple at heart, started to pray to Lord Chaitanya that, "My dear Lord Chaitanya, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You've come to deliver the suffering souls. I'm suffering, so please deliver me." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, you've defamed Shiva Sakur. Therefore, my benediction is that you're rot in hell for millions of years and suffer continuously." It was a little disappointing to Gopal Chapala. It wasn't the benediction he was looking for. But in any case, Lord Chaitanya was on his way to South India, he was on his way to Bengal, East Bengal. But when he came back, again, he saw Gopal Chapala, who again prayed to him. And he said, your problem is you've defamed Shiva Sakur. I can't forgive you. But if you go to Shiva Sakur and you ask for forgiveness, if he forgives you, then you'll be delivered. Of course, he went to Shiva Sakur, begged for forgiveness, and therefore he became relieved for his material suffering and spiritual ignorance. In other words, we can find innumerable stories all about reputation and how the devotees, generally they don't care for reputation very much, whether they're famed or infamy, but for preaching or for just their service to Krishna, therefore they try to avoid scandals. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't like his name being defamed, that he'll do, as in the Krishna book, what's necessary to rectify such problems. Just like even Damodar Pandit tell Lord Chaitanya that it's not good that you're seeing every day this Brahmin boy, because his mother is very attractive and therefore there'll be some scandal. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at this particular time did not appreciate Damodar Pandit's criticism. He didn't. In other words, sometimes Krishna, like in the case of Ramachandra Puri, whose business was to criticize people. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and at the time of Madhavendra Puri's passing away, he came to Madhavendra Puri, who was crying out in separation from Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, "My dear Krishna, I couldn't see you at Mathura, and therefore I'm feeling great distress. Therefore, what should I do?" Ramachandra Puri came and said, "My dear spiritual master, don't lament when you're leaving your body. Give up your lamentation and fix your mind on Brahman." Therefore, Madhavendra Puri said, "You sinful rascal, get out of here. That if I see your face at the time of death, I certainly won't achieve my destination, my desired destination." Ramachandra Puri, who was a latent impersonalist, therefore his impersonalism fully manifests itself. Although he was a disciple of the most exalted spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, still because of his criticism against his own spiritual master, he became a full-fledged impersonalist. And his only business was to find fault in other devotees. When he came to Mathura, when he came to Mayapur, first thing he did was when he was invited to take prasadam, he instead had Jagannanda Pandit sit down and eat. And he fed him sumptuously and kept on feeding him more and more. And then, although he had eaten to his full, Ramachandra Puri, when he fed Jagannanda Pandit fully, then he looked at Jagannanda Pandit and said, "I've heard rumors that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disciples, followers, they eat too much, but now I've personally seen it with my own eyes." In this way, he would go around criticizing everyone, trying to get them to eat too much and then criticizing them for eating too much. And he personally spent time watching every movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing how he could find criticism. try to criticize him. So he got the statistics exactly how much it would cost to feed Lord Chaitanya, and he said, how is it possible that the sannyasi was eating so much? It's costing like 45 gandhas, like 25 cents to feed him every day. How is it possible he's eating so much? Of course, this was the meal both for himself and for his Govinda. But when Lord Chaitanya heard that Ramachandrapuri was criticizing him, therefore he cut his eating in half. And then all the Vaishnavas in Mayapur, they also, or Jagannath Puri, they also cut their eating in half. In this way, Lord Chaitanya tried to avoid being criticized. And then finally, Ramachandrapuri couldn't find any fault. So one day he came early in the morning to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's room, the Gambira, and he saw some ants on the floor and said, now I figure it out. That secretly at night, this so-called sannyasi, he's eating sweets. Because otherwise, why would there be ants on the floor? Because in India, there are ants everywhere. There's no place where there are not ants. So this is just his imagination, that because there was a few ants on Chaitanya in the Gambira, therefore that proved that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was secretly eating sweets at night. So, finally, Ramachandrapuri left Jagannath Puri, and everyone felt like a rock on their head had fallen off. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes he praised Ramachandrapuri, sometimes he followed his instructions, sometimes he neglected him. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is independent. But still we find, in general, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the example that we should act so that the good name of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is maintained. Because otherwise, if the devotees are criticized or whatever, then people may be reluctant to take the devotional service. Even Prabhupada said when the devotees were using certain tactics to sell books, he said that you can try to catch the big fish, don't get wet. That we don't want to be criticized by people. We want to be adored by people for our honesty. Not that people think, well, they talk about honesty, but they don't follow it. Even Krishna has a reputation for being a little dishonest. And in the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it says that people in general, in Vrindavan, they have that reputation, or Mathura. They're not exactly straightforward or honest sometimes. So Krishna has that reputation too because he comes from there. Therefore he tells Arjuna, Pichet Sudarachira Bhajantem Ananyabhak Sadoreva Samantavyak Samyagyavyasito Hisaha. You should declare it that my devotee will never be perished. Because if Krishna declares it, Krishna knew that during this battlefield, I'm going to have to break my word. And Bhishma Dev is going to try to kill my devotee, Arjuna. Although I had vowed not to take part in the fight on either of the sides, but still I'm going to have to break my promise to save my devotee. Therefore, if I say something before the battlefield, people will say, yes, he's saying that his devotee never perishes, but who can trust him? He even broke his word during the battlefield. So what to speak of before the battlefield? Who can trust such a person? So you better declare it, Arjuna, that my devotee never perishes. Because my word may be broken to save my devotee, but my business is to maintain the word of my devotees. Therefore, when Bhishma declared that unless Krishna fights, that Arjuna will be killed. Therefore, Krishna, in order to maintain the word of Bhishma Dev, he fought on behalf of Arjuna, although he had vowed not to. So Krishna will protect his devotee's word before he'll protect his own word. But what to speak of his devotee's word is not kept, then it's a great blemish upon Krishna. Why didn't Krishna declare it that he'd keep his devotee's word, but somehow or another he wasn't able to do it? So the devotee, he wants to keep his word, at least not for his own reputation necessarily, or have his reputation spotless, because this is a blemish on a devotee's reputation, reflects badly on Krishna also. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names kind of get to me after a while. Tolerate. Or sometimes we may have to go to the source of the criticism and see if we can rectify it. But anyhow, sometimes we just have to tolerate. The web is, the internet is a great place for criticism. You can invent something, and the whole world can actually believe it if you just send out enough emails. Whereas Goebbels said, you can tell, the best thing to do is to tell the biggest lie possible as many times as possible, and then people will believe it. They'll think, it's such a big lie, how could anyone even say it if it was... You know, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.